Christ claimed to be God. Does it really matter whether that's true or not? Oh, it absolutely does. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
Folks, the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, if it was anything else other than deity and divine, you and I are still dead in our sins. It took a holy sacrifice, that which is equal with God, in order for our sins to be forgiven. The blood of Jesus has to be divine. If he had raised the dead and fed thousands and done all those wonderful works and died on the cross, and yet his blood was not equal to divinity, we are still dead in our sins.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs presents The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, and we welcome you to the broadcast. Today, Pastor Al begins a study centered on the most important question every human being must answer. Who is Jesus Christ to you? It was 2,000 years ago that God came to earth in human flesh. But what does that mean for you and me today? We'll seek to answer those questions as we turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. We'll be concentrating over the next two broadcasts on verses 15 through 18. Let's join Al Pittman now for today's edition of The Dwelling Place.
I've entitled this message, Who is He? Who is Jesus Christ? The most important question we will ever answer was asked by Jesus when he spoke to his disciples and said, Who do men say that I am? And then they said, well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're this prophet or that person. And then Jesus asked them directly, Who do you say? Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus? Paul addresses this in our text today. We're going to be looking at verses 15 to 18. He wanted to make sure that the church in Colossae understood who Jesus is. And notice I said who Jesus is, not who he was, because he's still Lord. As we consider some of the views of Christ by some of the major religions of our time, get an idea of what people think about Christ. And this is a real important question because whatever you do with Jesus determines which gospel you're listening to or that you have received. Because you can always define a cult by what they do with Jesus Christ. Well, how can I identify a cult? I don't know if this is a good group or whatever. One question, what do they say about Jesus? And Paul wanted to make sure that there was no doubt in the minds of the church in the Colossae that Jesus indeed is Lord. But let's consider some of the thoughts concerning Jesus in some of the major religious groups today. For instance, Christian Science. Who do they say Jesus is? Well, they teach, they do not believe in the existence of the physical universe. That's kind of the basis of their teaching. But they teach that Jesus is a divine ideal or principle. But that there was no physical Jesus. There was no physical Christ. But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, that every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Jehovah's Witnesses. And, you know, none of this is a slam on the people. It's just the organizations that teach this stuff. But Jehovah's Witnesses, good folks. But what do they teach? And many, unfortunately, even in these organizations that I'm going to mention, don't know what they teach. They're seeking the Lord, but they think it's religious, and they're there, and they think, well, by virtue of the fact that I'm religious, that I have salvation. But the Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Christ is only a God, the small g, in the sense of the small g, that he is not God, but rather he is an angel who became a man, but he's not God the Son. He's not deity. However, Jesus himself claimed to be deity. John chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus called himself, I am. Before Abraham was, he said, I am. the Jews had a problem with Jesus calling himself I am. In fact, they took up stones to stone him. In another occasion when Jesus said that he called himself I am or declared himself God. But he says, I am the eternal one in the absolute sense is what he was saying. He was using the same name that God called himself when he appeared to Moses in the wilderness. And Moses said, who should I say sent me? And he said, I am that I am. The very same word God used to describe himself, name God used to describe himself, Jesus used to describe himself. What about the Mormons, good folks? But they teach that Jesus, what they say about Jesus is that Jesus is one of many gods. And they teach that he is the spirit brother of Lucifer. However, the Apostle John tells us in John chapter 1, verses 14 and 18, that Christ is the only begotten Son of God. In Romans chapter 16, verses 25 to 27, Paul writes to the church in Rome that Christ is the full revelation already revealed. There's not another revelation coming, in other words. The fullness of God is revealed in Christ. And so when a religion comes along and says, oh, we have another revelation, God has an additional revelation to the revelation of Jesus. No. The fullness of God has already been revealed in Christ. Islam, what do they say about Jesus? Islam says that Jesus was merely a prophet of Muhammad and that Jesus is not the Son of God. And they also teach that salvation comes through works. In fact, jihad is a work of God. In announcing jihad against the infidels, which those who are not Islamic or Muslim are considered infidels, and they believe that committing jihad against the infidels is doing the work of God and that it pleases God and affords them a great reward in heaven. But the Bible says that we don't work for our salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that faith is in Christ. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, it's important for us to understand this, but why is it so important to believe that Christ is who he said he is? Because, folks, the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, if it was anything else other than deity and divine, you and I are still dead in our sins. It took a holy sacrifice, that which is equal with God, in order for our sins to be forgiven. The blood of Jesus has to be divine. If he had raised the dead and fed thousands and done all those wonderful works and died on the cross, and yet his blood was not equal to divinity, we are still dead in our sins. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that Jesus, however, was the perfect sacrifice, sinless. And therefore, he was able to offer himself for our atonement, for the forgiveness of our sins. You know, Paul sternly refutes the false claims, the false teachings circulating through the church and through the Colossian church, which aimed at undermining the preeminence of Christ. And every group, every religious organization that is a cult, you'll always find that they are somehow to one degree or another, in one way or another, sort of ratcheting down the preeminence of Jesus. Oh, yes, we believe he was a wonderful person. We believe that you should even, you know, believe in him to be saved, but he was not God. And when you take the deity away from his personage, you take away our salvation, because there's only one sacrifice God would accept, and that is that which is completely and totally holy. Now, Paul gives us here three evidences of the preeminence of Christ in our text. And I tell you, to deny Christ preeminence in any one of these areas is to preach, quite frankly, another gospel. And Paul warned in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 to 10, he said, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, just in case you didn't hear it, Paul says, If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. In other words, I'm not saying this because, you know, you know it's what people want to hear. I'm going to tell you, Paul says, the truth. Any other Jesus presented is another gospel. Now, it's important for us to understand this. As Paul makes it clear to the church in Colossae that they need to understand the preeminence of Christ so that Christ can truly be Lord over the body of Christ and that we might recognize him as Lord over all. What is the first evidence that Paul gives us here? Well, it's in verse 15. Read with me where Paul says, he, speaking of Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Who is Jesus? He is the image of the invisible God. Now, the Greek word for image is the word icon, E-I-K-O-N. And it means something that is in the absolute exact form, absolute moral excellence. Now, I know we got some good folks in here today, but I've never met anybody of absolute moral excellence. Amen. Everybody has a chink in their armor. And of course, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
It's one of the things that every human being has in common. We all have eyes, teeth, arms and legs, etc. And we are all sinners in need of a Savior. The times we live in can be pretty discouraging for the Christian. Day by day, we see our values being taken away and our faith ridiculed. If you're feeling a little defeated today, we would count it a real blessing to be able to pray for you. So share your prayer needs with us by going to our website, cwccs.org, and click the Need Prayer tab at the top of the homepage. That's cwccs.org. And thanks for remembering the dwelling place in your prayers as well. Now let's get back to today's message from Pastor Al. We're in Colossians 1, verses 15 through 18.
This word icon, it is where we get the Latin word. We use it in English a lot, icon, I-C-O-N. Now some may say, well, wait a minute now, how can Jesus be the expressed image, absolute moral excellence, when it says that he is the firstborn? Wasn't he came kind of afterwards? He was created by God. You know, he's less than God. Well, the term firstborn does not refer to time. Not talking about time, you know, Jesus is number one, somebody else is number two. But rather, it refers to place and status. He's the firstborn in place and status. In other words, literally, it means prior to all creation, he was. He was before all creation. In John chapter 14, verses 7 to 9, the Bible says, Jesus says, rather, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on, you know him and have seen him. You can imagine the disciples' eyes getting really big, you know. We've seen him? And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. If I could just see God, Philip is saying, it's all I need. Just show us the Father. It's sufficient for us. He's everything we need. He's our complete sufficiency. If we could just see God, Jesus said, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? See, if people come to church looking for God and they miss God because they miss Jesus. If you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. Say, well, I don't see him today. But you see his hand and you see his Spirit working. There are miracles sitting all around you that have been touched by the hand of God. We see his handiwork. We see him in nature. But we have seen him on the cross and we know that he is risen. And the evidence of that are the miracles that are sitting around you today. We see Jesus. even today. Maybe not in the same sense as Philip, or of doubting Thomas who put his hands in his wounds. But Jesus said, blessed are those who believe and who have not seen. Who have not put their hands in the womb. Blessed are them. That means you and me. He calls us blessed. We see him in our lives. We see him in every breath that we take. We see him in the lives of our family, in the cries of our children. We see him today as well. Maybe not in the same sense as the disciples, but we do see him. And yet, even though people see him, and nature and creation and all that, they're still looking for God. And yet, they look right past Jesus. And they forget that he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, Paul here is refuting the Gnostics. That's what he's doing. The Gnostics, I mentioned them last week, the Gnostics within the Colossian church who wanted to make Jesus just another religious icon. Now, Gnosticism, for those who are wondering, is a system of mystical and philosophical doctrines. It's the belief that through acquiring all types of spiritualism or spiritual knowledge that I will somehow, you know, reach a level, you know, up there with God somewhere or whatever. And so they're open to everything, much like our society today that just says, hey, just believe everything and don't judge anything. That's Gnosticism. Jesus, however, is not a religious icon. He's not one of the many. He is more than a religious symbol. Paul is telling the church here that he is God. He is God. And many people feel comfortable today as long as Jesus is hanging on a cross around their neck. Jesus, stay on the cross. They feel comfortable with Jesus as long as he is portrayed as just another religious icon or a religious symbol in the name of spiritual tolerance. We got to be tolerant today, you know. We've got Jesus, and we got to just line them all up, and they're all good. Aren't they cute? Lord, I love that, you know. I love that in that religion. It's all good. No, it's not. Because Jesus Christ did something that just blew everybody else out of the water. He declared himself to be God, and not only that, he came down from the cross, and he rose from the tomb, and he declared himself to all mankind to be divinely and holy God. Therefore, the only one with the authority to say, I am the only way, I am the only truth, I am the only life, you cannot get to God unless it's through me. No one else can declare that. He's not just hanging around our neck as some religious symbol. He didn't come to just be some oil painting on our wall. He came to be Lord and to be God, and he declared himself to be so. Paul says, don't you forget, church. Don't you try to equate Jesus with all the other religions out there, with all the other spiritual experiences out there. Jesus is the very express image of God. And secondly, he says this. He's not only the image of God, he is the creator of all things. And that's a title only God has. Verses 16 and 17, and Paul says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Wow. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is above all things, and in him all things consist. Wow. This is a powerful statement that Paul is making here. First, we see that Jesus Christ, Paul is basically saying that Jesus Christ is a sphere of which all things exist. He is the realm in which all things exist. Nothing happens to me without God knowing about it first. Nothing in my life exists apart from him. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I think, God, this is one you can't handle. This kind of snuck up on you in the night. And I know you're God, but, you know, you're probably on a coffee break when this happened. You didn't know this was going to happen. It took me by surprise, so it had to take you by surprise. And the reality is that it hasn't taken God by surprise at all. That God, everything that happens to us in our life is within the realm of Jesus Christ. It is under his authority, whether it be visible or invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, that all these things are subject to him. Paul is speaking about his preeminence, the preeminence of Christ. One commentator writes, he says that he is the agent through which all creation came into being and the one for whom they were made. Everything was made for his pleasure, the Bible says. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus, by the way. And the Word was God. And John would later say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In verse 2 of John chapter 1, he says, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Everything. Visible and invisible. In other words, folks, John is making the point here, and Paul reiterating that here by declaring Jesus as creator, that Jesus was in the very beginning, before the foundation of the world. In fact, when man was created, remember, the Bible says that God said, let us create man in our image. You look in your Bibles, our is capitalized. It speaks of that which is deity, that which is divine. God is speaking here. And it gives evidence to the fact that of the Trinity, of the triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all being one. Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Remember the one sin, the Bible says that if you commit this sin, and this is another discussion for another time, but if you commit this sin, it will not be forgiven, and that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And just quickly, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, if you're out there saying, well, I must have committed it. If you're worried about committing it, you haven't committed it. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is rejecting Jesus Christ. Because when you stand before God, that's the one sin that God says, I can't forgive that. Because you've rejected my only way for you to be redeemed, for you to be saved. But the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were there in the beginning. Let's make man in our image, the Lord said. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. John writes again, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. They're all the same.
You're tuned into The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, Senior Pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. You'll find a link for a free download at our website, cwccs.org. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. You can also share a prayer request with us. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Did you know that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported ministry? We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org. Or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. You can also watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. You'll find directions and service times for both locations at cwccs.org. Join us next time for another study in God's wonderful Word. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Dwelling Place.